Hello and happy Monday to you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. We're currently in a series going through the Psalms. Maybe thinking, well, that will take a long time, won't it? Well, no, not really, because what we're doing is a little bit unique. We're looking at various categories of Psalms. We're doing that with our expert guide, David Renfro, who you're going to meet in just a moment. Today, we're looking at wisdom psalms. All of us could use a little wisdom, couldn't we? Well, maybe we'll get some in today's episode. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and David Renfro. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. We're going through the Psalms with David Renfro, THM from Dallas Seminary, author of a commentary on Exodus that you can find at thebiblesays.com. And I've just found it so fascinating. It's been great having you here, David. Thank you very much.
I love this a lot.
So we're talking about something that probably has absolutely no relevance to anybody listening. We're going to talk about wisdom psalms. No one needs wisdom.
I think we all need wisdom.
Wisdom psalms really are part of the entire wisdom literature of the Old Testament, which includes Job, and these wisdom psalms, Proverbs, of course, and the book of Ecclesiastes. And there are little areas of wisdom literature sprinkled throughout the entire Old Testament. The first time we see this word wisdom, by the way, you really have to have an allergy problem to pronounce the Hebrew word for wisdom.
What is it?
Chokmah. And the word literally means, and we see this, believe it or not, in an obscure passage in Exodus 31. It speaks of certain people in Israel that are given the skill to create the tabernacle. And so the word chokmah means skill.
So it's a practical.
It's like a practical skill in living.
Well, when it's applied in the book of Proverbs, it means the skill of living. And just like a carpenter can take a lump of wood and make a beautiful work of art out of it, or a goldsmith, silversmith, or a stonemason or sculptor can take this mess and make a beautiful work of art, that same concept applies in Proverbs to life itself.
All right, so we're talking about our own lives, skill in improving our lives.
It's the skill of living.
Skill of living.
Yeah.
And some of the Psalms talk about
this same skill. Wisdom is designed to make you a master craftsman at life.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good.
The Psalm that we're going to go over is part of that. And by the way, if you think wisdom is just an Old Testament concept, if you read about the life of Jesus, how he grew in stature and wisdom. Yes. Colossians chapter 1 talks about wisdom is connected with knowing the will of God, which a lot of people want to know. Wisdom is extremely important in the New Testament as well. The book of James is, to a great extent, wisdom literature in the New Testament.
If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask.
He'll get it free of charge.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go through some ceremony. So let's take a look at a wisdom psalm. It's one of my favorite psalms, by the way. I have a whole sermon on this. I guess the reason it's one of my favorites is because I can identify it with so well.
So this is Psalm 73, and I noticed right away it's part of Book 3.
Yes.
And we had mentioned before that the Psalms are divided into books, five books.
Five books. Some of the rabbis over the centuries have theorized that it was split into five books by earlier rabbis or earlier Jewish scholars to mimic the Old Testament books of the law, you know, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses.
So why does Book 3 start with a wisdom psalm? Any ideas?
Well, actually, I think it goes back similar to the first psalm, Psalm 1. Anytime you have the scriptures comparing and contrasting the righteous versus the wicked, the wise versus the fool, or some such, you've got wisdom literature.
Mm-hmm.
That's rampant all through the book of Proverbs, but it's in some places that you wouldn't expect. And Psalm 1, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, do what the Lord wants you to do. So there's a contrast there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's essentially wisdom literature in a nutshell.
Right.
And the design of wisdom literature, as I said, is to make us master craftsmen at life.
And by the way, it kind of strikes me that any one person can be a wise or a fool, righteous or wicked, in one lifetime. You can play both roles.
Well, you know? To me, the thrust of the book of Proverbs is you have the choice of three lifestyles. You have the choice to be wise, grow in wisdom, which is what God wants you to do.
Right.
You could choose to be a fool and be essentially anti-God, or you could be what Proverbs calls the naive. And the naive, the way I say it is, in contemporary wording, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
In other words, I'm clueless.
Right.
So you have the choice, do I want to live a life of wisdom, a life of foolishness, or a life of completely spaced out?
Right.
And that's your choice.
Right.
And that's the way the book of Proverbs presents it. And the same thing is true, really, in this psalm. Let me go over some of this, give you a survey of it.
Yeah.
The verse 1 sets the stage. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as who are pure in heart. Then verse 2, but as for me. That is a Hebrew word that says, in contrast to what I just said.
Right.
Verse 1, I take as, this is doctrine. And by the way, this is a psalm of Asaph. Remember, he was the choir master for David in the tabernacle. Okay, so, and that means he was a disciple of David. And he struggled too. He was in the upper echelons of Israel, and he struggled with his faith, as we will see. But he said, this is what I've been told. God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. And it's starting in verse 2, he says, what I've been taught and what I see in the world are two completely different things.
Wow, that's a different way of looking
at it. Well, because in verse 1, he's good to Israel, but not everyone in Israel is pure in heart, right?
Right.
This is, so it's like, it's a qualification. It's kind of like in Romans 8, end of Romans 8, where it's like everything works together for good to those who love God and who are called
right.
according to his purpose.
Right.
You know, you got to meet those qualifications.
Right. Although what I think, David, where you're going with this is kind of like what you see in the book of Job. What do you do when the wicked prosper?
Right.
Or the righteous suffer. But
right.
in this case, Asaph seems to have a problem with the wicked prospering.
It is similar to what you hear, the objections that people have now, and frankly, Christians struggle with. If God is such a good and loving God, why does he allow such horrible evil?
Right.
You know, and that's essentially what Asaph is struggling with. And remember, there's a tension in this guy. He's a faithful believer in Yahweh, but he's got a problem because he says, what I've been taught doesn't jive with what I see in the world.
So God's supposed to bless the good, but the wicked are prospering.
Yeah, and exactly. Look what he says.
It's not obvious that I am.
Verse 2, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped spiritually. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
I mean, if you looked at all the billionaires in the world today, I mean, I don't know how many of them are born-again believers. Any?
I know one. You wonder, you know, what you see. And this is true for all Christians. If you've not struggled with this, then you probably need counseling.
Right.
Is God is good, and God wants the best for us, and yet I'm suffering.
Yeah.
And I see other people suffer more than me. And I see the wicked having a great old time. And God's not doing anything about it. Because look what he says. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge in abundance. Back then, being fat was a sign of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now we look down upon it. But back then, it was a sign of wealth and prosperity. Verse 9, they set their mouths against the heavens. Their tongue walks through the earth, meaning they have authority. Or at least they seemingly have authority.
Right.
And so he's saying, these people, they're wicked, but they're having a great time. They're prospering. They're having a wonderful time. They have authority over others, implying that they have authority over people that are faithful to the Lord, and the people that are faithful are suffering.
Mm.
Which is, of course, typical today as well.
Yeah.
Not all the rulers in the world are believing rulers. Sometimes
no.
they suppress Christians.
Exactly. That's what was going on in Asaph's mind. What I see doesn't jive with what I've been taught in Bible church, you know.
But now, isn't there a shift in this psalm where
look at verse 15.
There you go.
If yeah. I had said, I will speak thus, meaning I'm going to go along with the wicked crowd, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful to me. Verse 17 is crucial. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Folks, you know what the problem that Asaph had? A loss of perspective.
He wasn't looking at their end.
He did not have God's perspective.
Well, he was trying to figure it out on his own. But then when he goes to the sanctuary, what's that symbolic? That's symbolic of he went to the Lord.
He went into the Lord's presence in prayer.
And then he understood it.
And the Lord gave him the Lord's perspective. You know, then the description is what the Lord's going to do. And then verse 21 to 24, Asaph is saying, I'm sorry I even thought about this wicked stuff in the first place. I'm so sorry. But I love what I have here in verse 25 and 26. Look at this. And this ought to be a song, too.
Yes.
Who am I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. In other words, there's nothing in heaven on earth or anywhere that I'd want other than you, Lord. And I love verse 26, and this should be our motto. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Look it down at verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all my works. My last point here. You remember the psalm started, surely God is good to Israel. In verse 28, literally it says, the nearness of God is my good. You know what Asaph finally did through this process? He took this general doctrine, justification, or whatever you want to say, and we pronounce it like it applies to everybody, but he personalized it. And you and I have to do that. That doctrine applies to me.
You're right.
It applies to me. He did this for me as an individual. Yes, it's a general doctrine, but I apply it to me.
Well, those are some great thoughts, Dave, and I just love this last word in verse 28. It's good for me to draw to the Lord, and I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. And that is the foundation of wisdom. You need to trust in God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to take a look at didactic psalms. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.